half hour of Mind Webs. Short stories from the worlds of speculative fiction. This is Michael Hansen with a Mind Web story, this time from The Ninth Galaxy Reader, edited by Frederick Pohl. This is a story by John Brunner titled Wasted on the Young. The doorbell sounded. Hal Page had been attending to two final tasks. First, checking around the apartment and making sure everything was ready for this, which was going to be one hell of a party. And second, trying to decide where to put the notice. He would have liked to destroy it, but when he came to the mouth of the disposal and opened it, letting the faintest whiff of the stink from the faraway incinerators mingle with the heady perfumes loading the air in the room, well, he found he had changed his mind. He needed the solid feel of it in his hand, the crinkly rustle of it in his ears to drive him to the completion of his ultimate purpose. At a party like this, no hiding place was likely to remain secret, especially in view of his reckless reputation. The guests would make it a point of honor to seek out and, if possible, ruin his most costly possessions, to make him break new records when he cleared up the mess and replaced the spoiled items. But he dared not have anyone even guess at the motive for throwing such a party on this randomly chosen day. If anyone realized, word would spread like the rumor of plague, and he would spend tonight alone, staring at nothing and feeling the cold hand of terror on his heart. Ah, damn, he said aloud, snatching the notice into a place of concealment in the front of his loose silk shirt. Automatically, he consulted his watch, though he knew the bell had sounded 20 minutes at least ahead of party time. It was the most expensive watch in the world. It had cost him 4 full years and sat on the back of his left index finger, measuring the decay rate of a tiny grain of radium. The bell sounded a second time. He reached his decision. What the hell point was there in keeping the notice? Every word of it was ingrained in his mind and could be summed into the single terrible warning, tomorrow. But if he had no intention of being here, of being alive tomorrow, why hesitate to have the paper destroyed? He thrust the document into the disposal as he had originally intended. The gesture brought him a sense of calm, of boats being burnt. He went smoothly and coolly to open the door.
Well, you're early, but come in anyway. No reason to delay the...
He got that far before he realized that the man facing him, a little older than himself, say 35, slim, saturnine, bright-eyed, was wearing the black of an adult. And then with a twisting grimace of disgust, he made to close the door, wishing it were possible to slam it with a crash. Wait, the man in black said softly. Wait. Remember me, Hal? Page hesitated. He made a valiant effort to see the face above the drab black garb as that of an individual instead of merely as the mask of an adult. And relays of memory closed, he said.
Yeah, why, at a party of, what was the girl's name?
Karen Sotini, but that doesn't matter. Mine does. I'm Thomas Dobson. Are you going to make me stand here, Hal, where anyone passing down the corridor might see me? Are you going to have them start to wonder why an adult comes calling on Hal Page, the professional youth? You see, I know about the notice you've had and the reason for this spectacular party tonight.
You're not gonna be here. I said open house, but Hal's name, I didn't mean...
No, of course not. Your guests won't be less than half an hour late, Hal. You know that as well as I do. Even for a glimpse of the legendary Hal Page, who gambled and got away with it, who's dragging so many others after him by his example.
So you've come for a sight of me, huh? Well, to see what you missed? All right, come on in. Have what you want at my expense.
He waved Dobson past him with a grandiose gesture, indicating the array of delicacies with which the room was stocked. Antiques and objets d'art had been thrust aside hastily to make room for them.
Champagne, genuine champagne from France. You want some caviar, lark's tongues? Take your pick, Dobson. It's all charged to me.
Well, thank you. Dobson selected a sliver of hard toast with which to dip into a bowl of red caviar. You know, he said musingly when he had swallowed the first mouthful, you know, it's a shame you're not equipped to value this for what it is, Hal. that you should see it only as a gigantic prop for your ego.
You're not equipped to enjoy anything. Gad, even the first time I met you, what was it, 5 years ago? You weren't equipped to get fun out of life. You sat there like a brooding ghost and poured out secondhand philosophical claptrap that nobody wanted to listen to.
You listened. Dobson dipped a second portion of the caviar and the toast crunched noisily between his teeth.
Yeah, I listened only because I didn't believe you could be real. There you sat. There was this girl alongside you, the one with pretty red hair and a mouth that... Well, skip that, but I got her afterwards.
I know. She told me. Dobson swallowed the last of his toast and dropped into a soft chair. A fugitive smile crossed his face.
You mean she looked at you twice?
We got married. A course of action which probably wouldn't interest you very much.
Yeah, damn right. She had a hell of a body, but her mind was all cluttered with the same kind of nonsense that you were spouting that evening. And yet, you know, I guess I should be grateful to you in a way. Up to that time, I'd run with the herd. I'd taken it for granted, you know, all the pious nothings which I had had spooned into my ears in school. I looked at you and I thought, hell, if they're going to take me and grind me into the same mold as you, I'm going to get my kicks first. Well, yeah, it was right on the following day that I went out and got myself something which cost a whole year for the first time. I felt great, and I went right on from there.
Tell me something. Didn't you feel anything when you ran your debt up over a century?
Sure. I felt I was getting out from under.
Nothing else?
I know what you mean. You're trying to say, wasn't I scared that they'd come along and cut the ground from under my feet?
Hell no.
You take yourselves too seriously, Dobson, you adults. A minimum of 30 years free, that's what they tell you. Granted, I had a bad moment the day I woke up and found I was a week past 30. I'd sort of lost count during the weekend party, but it kept on, and it kept on. And here I am, 32 years, 1 month, and 4 days.
Stop, said Dobson quietly and reached for another dip of red caviar.
So what's going to be done about it? My debt's up to 300 years now, and there isn't a damn thing you can do. It's spent. Or it will be by dawn tomorrow.
And what do you have to show for it?
I have to show what anyone will tell you. I have proof of more guts than you. I have proof I wasn't scared of the consequences. I didn't turn around and make myself into an adult ahead of due date so that when they call for me, I'd go fawning and saying, look, here, I'm already acting like one of you. Please be kind to me.
A sudden thought broke his train of words like a derailment. He shot out an accusing finger.
Hey. Hey, Dobson, how do you know about the
question trailed off into silence, colored with more than a little alarm. Dobson said, no, I haven't come to get you, if that's what you're thinking. I am, in fact, required to call on you and make sure you understand the responsibilities which go with all of the privileges you've enjoyed.
Sure, I understand them fine. Now, look, suppose you get on your way and leave me to have my last fling.
Sorry. I have to do the job, Hal. And if I don't get to complete it before your guests arrive, I just have to try and do it later. So the choice is fairly simple. Sit and listen now, or sit and listen later. Because there won't be anyone else here to keep you company. The word will have got around. You know how superstitious everyone in your group is about someone who's been given notice. As though they had suddenly carried the taint of a deadly disease. He'd been comparing it mentally to plague earlier. That jibe got through Page's annoyance. He dropped into a chair, facing Dobson, and sighed.
I'd rather take you and push your smug face down to the disposal, but... all right, spit it out and make it short.
Dobson folded his hands calmly on his lap. He said, I doubt if you've caught up on the classics of literature during this expensive whirlwind of a life. But maybe if you'd done so, you'd have developed a greater insight into your situation. Particularly if you've read a couple of works by the dramatist Shaw, early in mid-20th century. Mean anything to you?
Come on, come to the point. Look, I've had my notice, you know that, and I don't want to be bored tonight of all nights.
Yes. Yes, you have rather a marked capacity for boredom, don't you? Seems somehow unfair. Well, to be precise, what I had in mind was a beautiful capsule summary of the contemporary economic setup, which is probably apocryphal, but who can be sure? Reputedly, Shaw said in his old age that youth was wonderful. What a pity it had to be wasted on the young. For in his view, as expounded at some length in Back to Methuselah, only the wisdom which age entrains can fit an individual to make optimum use of the energies of youth. Dobson's eyes went once around the room, seeming to take in, sum up, and dismiss everything for which Page had staked 3 centuries of existence. Page shivered and ordered him violently to hurry up with his little chat. All right, Hal. Well, even enclosed as you are in your psychologically incestuous circle of good time chums, it must have been borne in on you that there has been progress since the old days, that we have colonized 2 other planets in this system, that we're reaching out to explore the planets of other stars. I caught something about it on 3V. Yes. Moreover, we enjoy a universally high standard of living now, in which we apply as the only truly dependable economic yardstick, the investment of individual effort. I've spent 3 centuries worth. All right, you got any news that isn't stale? Patience, Hal. I'm required to do this, as I told you, even if your interruptions compel me to spend all night at it. I heard. I just don't see the point of the lecture on current affairs. Look, are you softening me up to tell me that I'm to be sent out to Mars or somewhere to sweat on one of those damn construction projects? You caught that on 3V2, presumably. No, Hal, you're not to be sent to Mars. The work there is almost at the point where human effort can be supplanted by machinery. And only skilled options are likely to remain open there in the future. Do I get the chance to make my points, or do you so much like the sound of your own voice you'd rather hear only it between now and tomorrow morning? Page made a disgusted gesture and leaned back in his chair. Dobson went on. Thank you. Hal, in your last year of school, when you should by rights have been old enough to make a fairly enlightened decision, you were instructed in the forms of modern society. You were told, for instance, of the expenditure against credit, which would be made available to you at least until age 30, and that the credit was charged, like all expenditure nowadays, against a standard base scale of individual work. Only the time counts. There's no question, for example, of someone who's not capable of highly skilled work being made to return more years of unskilled labor to balance the accounts. We're pretty rich as a race, we human beings. We don't have to be petty in such things. You were told the reasoning behind the system, Al. You were told, and like most adolescents, you certainly didn't believe, that an endless round of pleasure and self-indulgence ultimately would grow boring. And that by the time you got your notice to repay to society the credit you had drawn, you'd wish to make some more constructive use of your life. We're told also that there was nothing fixed or inevitable about this repayment. There's a certain inalienable minimum available to everyone, so that by living frugally, a person may continue to be his own absolute master as long as he wishes. This course is usually chosen by those with a strong, rebellious, and creative bent who would rather sit on the edge of a desert and paint sunsets and take up an adult's post in the world. I don't wish to criticize such people, by the way. Hal, in my view, that marks them out as among the most mature and self-reliant specimens of the race. Unused to sitting and listening, Page had begun to fidget. Now he burst out again, angrily this time. Yeah, I was certainly told all this, but I wasn't convinced, and I still am not convinced. I'm getting a hell of a lot of kicks out of life, Dobson. And the idea of being arbitrarily grabbed by the neck and... Not arbitrarily. You were told. You didn't listen. Told what? That, how did you put it, that an endless round of self-indulgence would end up by boring me? Hell, the only times I've been really bored have been like now, when some stuffy-brained adult started preaching at me. He jumped up and went to fetch himself a shot of brandy. And the fact remains, I'm not fooled as easily as most people. You know, they go around almost in awe of me, like I'd done something special. All I did was see through this guff about my debt to society and what it consists of. I told you frankly, I had some bad moments when I realized I'd hit age 30 with a debt already topping 2 centuries. Then I caught on. If you jumped on me right then and there, the first possible moment, the very day I got past the promised limit, you'd mark yourselves for scared. People would have said, it's a fraud. They jumped on Hal Page because he took what he wanted from life and didn't give a damn about the time he used up. Hell, if we're all going the same way, let's take what we can
While we can. Isn't that the size of it?
You're visualizing the whole of your generation spending their credit by the century, the same as you. Hal, do you seriously think that would matter? I said we're a rich race. You have no conception of how rich we are. If every single one of your guests that you've ever had to all of your wild parties, if every guest at every party you've ever been to, if every one of your entire generation decided to spend as freely and lavishly as you, all it would take to absorb this would be to reprice their expenditure down to the productive effort we can reasonably accommodate during their later lives. We're embarrassingly rich, Hal. These days, we seldom even have to send a notice to people. With the 30th birthday come and gone, people tend to get restless. They lose interest in their round of pleasure. They turn up one day and ask to be assigned for some real work. I did that myself.
But I'm not like you.
The point I'm making still stands. Our difficulty is in utilizing the resources which make themselves available to us. 9 people out of 10 who reach the age of 30 nowadays have already lost heart for mere passing amusements. They've taken a course of study, or set themselves a small research project, or made plans for a family. Done something adult, in short. And we have to cope with this tremendous flow of creative energy, channel it, make the most of it. That's why we're going out to the stars. It'll be a hell of a long time before we actually reduce starflight to a routine operation like a trip to the moon, but we're going to need that escape route simply for the sake of not wasting the potential modern human society boils off like surplus heat from an engine. Are you finished? Hal drained his glass of brandy and poured another. Not quite. We can't let things slide. And this is what I'm trying to put across to you. We can't raise the age of full credit to 35, for example, simply to reduce the pressure on us to absorb the would-be adults.
I'd have no objection,
blurted Hal, thinking of the terrible warning notice he had thrust into the disposal. Your full free credit period terminates tomorrow. But already people are finding it hard to last our 30 years fooling around. Did you not just hear me say so, Hal?
I've heard it all. Yeah, I'm sick of it all. There's nothing more you can tell me. How about using the door?
And Page tossed down the second brandy as though he hated it. Yes. Yes, Hal, it's all been said to you over and over. You just don't seem able to draw the conclusions. None so deaf as those who will not... never mind. Page watched him move towards the door. The hostility died in his eyes as the final question burned upwards towards full consciousness. Without intending, he found himself starting to voice it.
Dobson, do you know what's...
And there it faltered, partly because he was ashamed to admit to this black-garbed intruder that the prospect made him afraid. Partly because he was afraid. The saturnine man paused and looked back. Do I know what they'll make you do? As a matter of fact, yes. But I'm not empowered to tell you.
Make me? I thought there was supposed to be a range of free choice.
You poor fool. How many choices do you imagine remain open to someone who spent more than 300 years worth of credit? And he was gone. But it was a great party. There were just 2 bad moments. The first, when Meditex had to be called after a fight developed between 2 men over some chit of a girl Paige had had last year and didn't think worth the trouble. The second, when he found himself screaming at the crowd to drink more, eat more, dance more frantically, and realized that their eyes were on him, their faces halfway frightened at the dreadful intensity of his manner. He checked himself deliberately and covered his moment of self-betrayal by seizing the nearest girl around the waist to smother her face in kisses. He must not, dared not, let it be suspected that he was under sentence of death. Tonight, up to the very last minute, he must be with people. He must have the noise and laughter and the crash and smash of priceless articles, a soft, hot, sweat-pearled body under his, a silk pillow for his head ringing with Dobson's calm, terrifying voice echoing in memory. With the third girl, around 3 a.m, he failed to make it and knew that the time was come. Abruptly, he pushed her aside and got off the bed. He went into the bathroom and shut the door behind him. Luckily, there was no one in here just now, though earlier 3 or 4 people had been showering down together and writing obscene verse on the tiled walls with a bar of lavender-colored soap. He steadied himself with one hand and gazed at his reflection in the floor-to-ceiling mirror. Last time. But they'll remember me. The one who cheated them. The only ambition he had ever conceived. It wasn't unique to himself, but others whom he'd heard of, who tried the same, who found the prospect of being snatched away from this ceaseless, selfish delight intolerable, had botched the job. There were whispers, there were shuddering rumors in answer to casual questions. Where's so-and-so lately? I haven't seen him around. Oh, he got his notice. And tried to get out from under, cut his throat. And they healed him. I guess Dobson would accept that, Page told his reflection, seeing the grim lines form around his soft mouth. Yeah, I guess he'd say they were warned and had to take the consequences. Yeah. But being told in advance doesn't justify it. I don't give a damn for paying back what I've had in credit. No one asked me when they set up this filthy system, and I opt out. His voice had peaked to a loudness that scared him. He didn't want to be overheard. When he went, he wanted the party to continue. Maybe it would go on till the news came back. Hal Page made it. Hal Page got out from under. One final twinge of irresolution overcame him. Then he recalled the expression on Dobson's face as he went out and thought about the implications of his parting promise. No, better the silent dark of death. And he wasn't going to botch the job. The air car had cost him 1.5 years' credit. It was going to be well worth it, he thought dreamily as he gulped down the 5 capsules of hypnotic, 3 hours' credit, and set the controls to carry him out to sea. There was just about enough fuel for 50 miles. By then, he'd be at 30,000 feet, and hitting water from such a height ought to be pretty much like smashing into a stone wall. If they even got back enough to use for prosthetics, they'd be lucky. But that was the most they could hope to have back from Hal Page's famous record-breaking debt of more than 300. Blackness and horror. Light and darkness. Awareness. A shocking, horrifying lack of bodily presence. Vision indestructible without lids to lower over the traitor eyes. He tried to scream and found he had no voice. He tried to rise and run, and found he had no legs. He was in a large, light room, pale-walled, without a window, and facing him on a steel chair was the grim, black form of Dobson, somehow elongated from front to back, as though he was deeper than he should be. A voice said, "On now," and a whitish presence moved at the edge of vision, crazily out of proportion, a woman in a sterile coverall. "I think you have the lenses too far apart," Dobson said. "He's probably getting exaggerated stereo vision." Something monstrous loomed in Page's field of vision, and the perspectives of the environment shrank to something nearer normal. "I'm sorry for you, Hal," Dobson said softly. "And by the way, don't try to talk. We haven't cut in the vocal circuits yet." The consciousness of Hal Page withdrew, turned into something smaller than a mouse, began to run frantically around and around in the confines of his brain, which he knew and could not face knowing was all that was left to him. "You may go insane," Dobson said. But I guess in some senses you've always been insane. Incapable of drawing a rational conclusion from what you were told, incapable of empathizing to the point of taking someone else's word. I guess we have to be grateful that people like you still turn up occasionally. It's our greatest strength as a race that we can build on our own weaknesses. There was almost nothing left of you, Hal, but you should have known from what I told you when I called at your apartment that you were a rarity, too rare to waste. We're compelled to be strictly honest, Hal. There are unpleasant tasks to undertake, and we never hide the fact. You elected yourself for one of them, in full possession of all the information which would have enabled you to back out if you'd cared to. But you didn't. You went right ahead. You spent credits founded on other people's efforts until the free choices opened to you as repayment dwindled to a single possibility. So here I am with the task of telling you, after you made the mistake of thinking you could welch on your debt. We have to go to the stars, Hal. Creeping outward. As I told you, it's forced on us. Because we have so much energy to absorb, so much frantic creativity, so much skill and impatience. One day, we'll go at the speed of light freely and easily. But before that epoch arrives, there must be scouts, explorers, pathfinders. You, Hal, you are going to Rigel as the commander and the crew of a slow, slow rocket ship. And the round trip, Hal, is going to last just about 300 years. That story is titled Wasted on the Young by John Brunner. It appears in a collection edited by Frederick Pohl titled The Ninth Galaxy Reader. This is Michael Hansen speaking. Technical production for Mindwebs by Leslie Hilsenhoff. Mindwebs comes to you from WHA Radio in Madison, a service of University of Wisconsin Extension. Thank you.